This is the Closet Geek, episode 73 for February 19, 2015.
Hey, this is Kristen Huey, and you're listening to the Closet Geek.
Closet Geek, coming to you each week in Closet Geek. All things of geeks critiqued in Closet Geek. Comics and games and tech in Closet Geek. Lego, Star Wars, Star Trek in Closet Geek. We are not nerds, we have some social skills to call our own. Closet Geek!
Hey guys, welcome to the Closet Geek, where geeks come out, the podcast where four brothers have united their powers to become the four horsemen of geek, to bring you the best and latest geeky news. I'm your host, Barry Ricks, and with me I have John and Ryan, and Mike might join us soon.
He should. Oh, there he is. He just came online.
Oh, he just came on. So that's good. So, yeah. Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good, good. So
good.
So, yeah, let's get Mike in here. Hey, Mike, we've already started.
Oh, I figured you were. I was running as fast as I could from Scout's pickup.
Oh, okay. There you go. Well, let's go to our first segment of the show.
This week in Geek.
This is This Week in Geek. We talk about things we did geeky throughout the week, things we love, and things we can recommend for you to check out. So, John, why don't you tell us what you did geeky this week?
Not much.
It's kind of a slow week for geekiness.
You know, I've been reading, of course, as always. I'm about halfway through Firefight by Brandon Sanderson.
Oh, how's that?
It's good. I'm enjoying it. And have you read the first one?
Yes.
Okay. So now that they've, beaten the big bad guy, now they're like taking the fight to the epics. So now they're trying to, take out the big bad guys. And so they're kind of traveling around. And so that's kind of what I've been reading. I'm also in the middle of Scorch Trials by James Dasher, which is the second book in the Maze Runner series.
Yeah.
And I actually read Kill Order before I read the Scorch Trials. Kill Order
which
is technically the prequel. It's the fourth book that he's written in the series, but it was a prequel to the Maze Runner. And I really liked Kill Order. And so it gave me hope for some of his other stuff.
You know what? I've read Maze Runner. I read the Scorch Trials, but then I got to the third book and it kind of just died off for me.
It seemed like it died off for me in the first one. I wasn't a huge fan of the Maze Runner novel.
In my opinion, it slowly got worse, which is interesting because usually book series slowly get better because the author
you just kind of gets better
he
as
gets
you
better
write
at writing
more.
I've
been told by multiple people that they too kind of had issues with the first novel, but that the rest of the series was better. So I kind of like, okay, well, I'll give it a chance. And I really did like the Kill Order, which was the prequel. So now I'm reading the Scorch Trials, about halfway through that. Other than that, I haven't really done a whole lot of gaming. I did kind of shout out during the podcast last week that I received an email invite to the Heroes of the Storm beta.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Have you played that?
I've only played a little bit of it. I've just kind of gone through some of the tutorials. I haven't actually played a live match yet. But it's very reminiscent of Warcraft 3, just the art style. Yeah. The in-game cutscenes, which are done, in engine, just kind of very reminiscent of the way that they did Warcraft 3. So I was like, okay, this is kind of fun. So far, it's pretty much like any other MOBA that I've played, League of Legends or Dota 2 or whatever. So I haven't quite seen where the differences lie yet. But like I said, I don't have a whole lot of experience with it. This week on the PlayStation Store, there's a big sale going on. It's what they call a Critics Sale. Critics' yeah. Choice sale. And so there's some really good deals on some really good games. So I actually picked up Child of Light,
which is played the demo of that, and it was really good.
It's one of the best indie games of last year. It's done by Ubisoft,
which is interesting to call it an indie game because it's developed by Ubisoft.
Right, it is developed by Ubisoft, but it was done by a smaller independent
team.
I picked that up for like $6, so nice. I'm like, okay, yeah, so normally
you're gonna get definitely your money's worth out of
that. Normally it's 15, so I was like, okay, that's cool, so I picked that up. Other than that, not really a whole lot.
All right, well, Ryan. Right, you Ryan.
No, my air conditioning's on, can you hear it?
A little bit. It's not too bad.
All right,
it's
all
not
right.
bad.
Yeah, I'll go there. All right, I was on mute because I didn't want it to annoy.
You probably hear my kids in the background anyway.
This week has been also slow for me. So
it's kind of an off week for everybody.
Yeah, I've been reading. I don't know if it's geeky, but I've been reading. I've read two fitness books, and I'm getting through my third right now.
Wow,
good job, man.
Yeah.
So how's the CrossFit and all your other stuff going?
Oh man, CrossFit today was tough. I was dying. So lots of sit-ups are my bane. Sit-ups are kryptonite to me.
Oh yeah. Don't have that abdominal strength, huh?
I don't know what it is. It's just...
That's funny. I can usually do sit-ups, push-ups for some reason. My upper arm strength is not...
Oh, yeah, I'm bad at push-ups, too.
So, anything else going on?
Nope, that's it. Well, I've got some Wookiee kits that I'm going to mail out this weekend.
Nice.
That's about it.
Cool. Yeah. Well, good. Mike?
February 24th, I'm freaking out.
What's February 24th?
The Gold Saucer
release
expansion comes for Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
So for
that's
all
the
of
one
the,
that has like chocobo racing in it.
Yeah. So all the people who ever played Final Fantasy VII back when the good old classic that everybody remembers, there was a place in the game called the Gold Saucer, which was just a giant casino of time wastefulness. But in 14, they have a storyline following this character named Hildebrand Manderville, and so his family is supposedly just stinking rich, and his parents are these eccentric, well-known artisans, and so it's the Manderville Gold Saucer, and it's the same similar design as they used in 7.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be, with the expansion, there's going to be new mounts. There's going to be the Gold Saucer, of course. So you're going to have like chocobo racing, and you're going to have all these different gambling games. They're going to include a new game called Triad, which was very popular in Final Fantasy IX as a side mini game. And so they're just including all these things from all these different expansions or different additions throughout the years. So it's really exciting because it's a huge zone into itself. So it's a giant city within itself. So
that's
it's not
cool.
just like a an event. It's a huge area. So I'm just kind of geeking out on that. That's a pretty exciting. They released a bunch of pictures on the Facebook page that everybody started scouring through. And
so that's next week?
Yeah, that's the 24th.
Cool.
So that was pretty cool. And did you guys do anything for Valentine's Day?
Nope. Oh, I attended somebody's wedding.
Oh.
Yay. I went out. I went to breakfast with the family.
Yeah, so Mom came and watched Lance for us and stayed the night so we could go out. And we ended up staying at the historic Peary Hotel in downtown Salt Lake City. It's the only historical building, an actual historical site that is still an operational hotel. And so even the elevators, like right out of the 1930s, you're like, will this thing
does it work?
Up? You're like, you have to like press this tiny little button that's as big as your finger and hold it down and get the door to close. And then it's just like, you can hear all the hydraulics. And you're just like, I'm glad that the elevator says two people only.
Does it really? Wow.
Yeah. You can only fit two people in it. So we took it once just to say we took it, but then we took the really nice staircase after that. But it was cool. The breakfast the next morning was in the bar area. So they have this huge area that was once a cafe bar for the hotel, and they turned it into their breakfast area, and they also do special events there. So it was just a really nice event. We went out to a place called Christopher's. And just had, like, you know, a $200 meal. It was awesome.
Wow.
Wow. Fancy.
Yeah, it was fancy. We got the gold treatment. It was pretty cool. But
so was this part of, like one of your steampunk things, or was it?
No, this was just us going out.
Oh, okay.
We just wanted to do something unique, and we went for it. And then who has watched the most recent Gotham episode?
Oh, the one with Joker in it?
Holy crap. That was so awesome.
It was pretty good.
I'm sitting there watching it on my tiny little 2.5-inch phone screen, you know. I think it's actually 4-inch. But anyway, I'm watching it, and then I just start just getting all giddy because as soon as it all, like, clicked, and I'm like, oh, my. This is so epic. Because it was, if you really look at it, it's almost like the actor took a little bit of every single concept that probably was the Joker in all of his expressions and the way he spoke. And I'm like, whoa, it was like watching, you know, anything from Adam West to, you know,
Adam West. He was Batman.
Yeah, I mean, the Adam West Batman.
The Adam West Batman.
Oh, I see.
See, because, you know, Michael can't remember the actor, the actor, the original Joker. But
that's okay.
It was cool. It was cool. I mean, everybody has to watch Gotham. It just gets better and better. And the
Cesar Romero.
Thank you. I knew he was Hispanic. I couldn't remember.
Thanks, Google.
I had to look that up real quick. Yeah. I wanted to say Vincent something, but no, that wasn't right.
And it was awesome to see. It was awesome to see Bruce Wayne like come into his own as a character in the series instead of kind of a.
Oh yeah, he's like kind of like stepping in and taking more control over the company.
Yeah, he stepped in and held a staff meeting, and they were all treating him like this child,
like this little kid.
He just drops this nuclear bomb on him, like
he's like,
boom,
nope.
There's going to be civil and or criminal actions for what has happened. You know, expect as much at the next shareholders meeting, and they're all looking at each other like, did he just say what we think he said? We're all screwed.
Yeah.
So, so that was kind of my week in geek. I haven't had a lot of time to watch my shows. Just because I've been busy, I test on Tuesday to do my Series 63. I will pass this time.
That's right.
That's right.
Anyway, that's cool. My week in geek. It was cool. Kind of a light week.
Yeah, for all of us.
So I've mostly been doing gaming. My wife has been busy doing things in the evening times, and so
yes, that's what I get my gaming in too. It's like when the wife is busy, whoo, yeah, I can play games, and she's busy doing her stuff.
Well, and it was just like, so I got up to level 8 in Destiny.
Woo! So you're on the moon now.
I'm on the moon.
That's right, baby.
I'm still having lots of fun. For those of you that haven't played Destiny, a good way to describe Destiny for for someone that is, if you like shooting aliens in the head a lot, that's Destiny for you. And that's basically what it is. I mean, the rest of the storyline and everything is fun and everything, but that's basically what you do the whole time. Like, you're shooting aliens in the head, like, all the time. And
well,
it's
I mean,
fun.
That's all that Halo was.
Well, I know, but this one, like, it seems to focus even more on, like, the headshots.
Yeah.
And, like, so I was just like, if you like doing stuff like that, Destiny's the game for you. But it's lots of fun. I like, you know, pretty much most any first-person shooter games, but still really enjoying that when I have the time to play.
Yeah.
I've still been playing the Banner Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Super, super good. Now, vice versa of Destiny, the storyline and everything is so intricate and really cool, and I just love, you know, how, you know, you have to pick and choose what you're going to say and decisions you're going to make, and then bad things happen and you're like, no, I should have chose the other thing. And and it's really good. The combat system is awesome. Recommend that game for everyone to try out. It's lots of fun. And then, you know, of course, doing my weekly comics, Table Titans,
Table
Clocks,
Titans,
Frost
Giants.
Yes, they showed up. That was
pretty epic.
When that happened, I was like, oh,
they're
crap.
So dead.
I know. I was just like, little tiny dwarfs, big giants. And yeah. I was like, oh, that'll be interesting
but
to see what happens.
According to, like, D&D lore, dwarves actually fight better against giants
because they're so little
and they know the giant's weaknesses.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what happens.
It'll be cool.
Yeah,
I thought
so
it was because they were as wide as the giants are tall.
That's
so they're just like the immediate opposite.
There you go.
That would be a fat dwarf bomber.
Yeah. So yeah, that's basically what I've been doing. Getting my game,
cool.
Gaming geek on. Oh, and I think I played Hearthstone a couple times too. So
yeah,
I squeeze that in every once in a while.
I was trying to. I was actually trying to play Heroes of the Storm more, but for some reason it's having a hard time updating. Like I'm trying to update, and it's like
does not compute.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. Oh, and see now. Nope, it's not updating.
Nope.
Never mind.
So I always go back to Destiny whenever I feel the need to get a beat down on me, not me giving the beat down.
Well, I was going to say, if you want to do like Crucible, yeah, that's a good way to humble yourself. So,
yep. Oh, I humble myself in regular play too. But yeah, so that's it for me. And like we all said, it's light geek week, but we still did fun things. But let's go to our next segment of the show. The Weekly Geek. This is the Weekly Geek, where we talk about geeky news that happened throughout the week, things that we thought were interesting, and things that we want to bring to you. Once again, kind of another light week for geek news, depending on what type of geek you are, I guess.
Yeah, there were some...
If you're really into toys, this was your week.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
because
Toy Fair.
Oh,
the Toy Fair.
They came
2015.
Out with some awesome Robotech toys.
Oh, I saw those Robotech toys. Those were pretty good.
Man.
There was
talking
awesome
about like the super formed ones.
Harmony Gold at Comic-Con said, at Toy-Con, we are coming out with a lot of stuff. You know, at least they said a lot. You know, for them, that's a lot. But fact that they have pretty much a 1/100th scale model for pretty much everything, and then they have these this new series called Ultimites, and they are they're a lot like the what are they? The ones that have the big heads. I can't remember what they're called.
Funko.
Thank you. And they're kind of like that. They're almost like little chibi, super deformed versions of the.
Yeah.
But they're poseable, and they're actually really well made because they're 3D printed and then put together, and so it's really good quality.
Yeah, and they
they're only like $10 a piece.
Yeah, and they even have like pilots inside them. You like open the head and take the pilot.
Yeah,
out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. But
I thought that was pretty
cool. Fact that they have both Valkyries. or Veritex from the Macross part of Robotech, but then they also had the alphas and betas from the new generation as well. Mm-hmm. And they're also making some announcements that they're going to come out with some of the Shadow Chronicles stuff because they're getting ready to push the Robotech Academy series. Even though it didn't kickstart, it just basically set it back instead of
Okay, so they're still gonna put it out.
Yeah, they're still gonna put it out, but they wanted to kickstart it, but you know, people said they were too ambitious with their Kickstarter, but they're like, no, we're gonna either put out a superior product or nothing at all. You know, and so they said, in the meantime, we're gonna have to just build it up slowly and release the pilot, and they feel like they're gonna have a few companies grab it to actually create a full length series out of it.
I mean, I did support the Kickstarter, but I agree when I think that they set their Kickstarter way too high. They wanted like 500,000.
Correct. But they only got to like 230.
Yeah.
I think.
So I think it was a little bit too much to bite off, but you know, it's good that they're still continuing to work on it.
To see the toys come out for the toy fair.
Yes.
What other toys were really cool that you guys saw?
Well, there was a lot of, like, you brought up the Funko series.
There are a lot of new editions
of, yeah, like Harry Potter line. Of the Funkos, and those are pretty fun.
And some of those Lego sets are just
Did you see
ridiculous.
The one with the shield helicarrier?
Yeah, the helicarrier.
It has over 3,000 pieces.
I know, that's so huge.
And the helicarrier, when it's done, it's like over 2 feet long. It's humongous.
Well, what's interesting is I'm not sure if, you know, I'm like, are they just making these so the parents can build them with the kids?
Of course.
You know, because all these parents, grew up with Legos.
Because I'm not going to kids.
No, I'm not going to pay $300 for my son to. No, it's like we're going to build it together, and then I'm going to put it in my room.
Yeah,
but hey, we'll build it together. So right.
So yeah, so that was kind of cool. I liked that, and then of course they have all the, you know, new Avenger toys coming out. The big Hulkbuster toy was. Iron Man Hulkbuster was pretty cool.
The statuettes that they had. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But no Star Wars.
What are you talking about? What about the build your own lightsaber kit from Hasbro?
I'm talking like you know, action figures, characters, based on the movie. I mean, the movie's coming out this year and they didn't show any Star Wars toys. So that just shows me that
they're gonna
once again, J.J. Abrams is like, no, we're not putting anything
out.
No spoilers. We're not gonna release anything.
A lot of times, toys do give away spoilers, like characters, the way they look.
Cool. I thought that was kind of interesting that there were just no Star Wars toys at the toy fair this year.
But speaking of Star Wars. Though, segueing into Star Wars Battlefront, apparently is going to be they said it's going to be a very extensive, long first person shooter campaign.
Oh, cool.
They said that you're going to even start with the beginning trilogy, episode one.
Nice.
And you're going to fight in some of the major battles there. Then you're going to, they said the main focus of it will be episodes 4 through 6.
Right, the original trilogy.
But they said then they're going to go into The Force Awakens. They're going to connect Battlefront, and you're going to do some battles that connect the game to the movie.
Yeah, I figured they would do that since they're both going to come out about the same time.
That's why they're releasing it. They're releasing it. The game's going to come out first. But it's going to be released close to the movie. Mm-hmm. And so, but they said there's nothing in the game that will be overly, you know, it won't spoil anything in the movie, but if you play it, it will add to the movie experience because you'll be like, oh, because there'll be like a reference to like a battle that you fought in the game, basically.
That's cool.
And so I think that was really cool. So they're saying it's not going to be short. It's going to be pretty long, and it's going to be linked to the movie in various ways.
Well,
so,
it's interesting that they were like specifically saying, hey, this is going to be lengthy, because there's kind of some controversy going on this week. There's a really big PlayStation 4 exclusive title, The Order 1886.
It is getting horrible reviews.
Well,
horrible.
Here's the thing: it's less than 5. It's about
like
5 hours
the
long.
Campaign.
But they said that the cutscenes are half of that.
Yeah,
and you can't skip them.
Right.
Well,
and
I don't
not
have a problem with cutscenes. I enjoy
well,
that.
Well, no,
kind
it's
of
but not
half
that
of the half of the gameplay though. Like,
yeah, well,
you're not
think
about
well,
half of
they
the
said
game.
They said the very last boss fight is a button masher, meaning it's like press this button, then press this button,
oh, a
then
quick,
press this
quick,
button.
Yeah,
and, yeah, it was quick sequence for the last battle of the game.
Yeah,
hello, it's like how lame is that?
Well, that's
plus
kind of
it's
like,
so linear. There's no open world. I mean, this is supposed to be a first person shooter that is supposed to encompass this whole concept of a steampunk semi-supernatural world.
It's third person.
Yeah, third person.
Well, no, that's fine. It's you know,
well,
it's a shooter. It's a shooter.
See, but that brings up the argument, you know, gameplay versus presentation.
Yeah.
You know,
they could have done both, though.
But that's an I read an
they
article.
They were able to do that very well with Gears of Wars. Where it looked really pretty, but it was still a decent shooter.
Well, but it's the same kind of... Well, not really. I mean, Gears of War was just the cover-based shooter, which is what The Order is.
Yeah.
It's just a cover-based shooter.
But in The Order, though, the majority of what you're doing, you're in buildings and hallways. It's like... You know, it's almost like watching somebody play Time Crisis. Have you ever watched somebody play Time Crisis, that shooter arcade game?
Yeah.
That's 1866. I mean, that's 1886. It's Time Crisis.
Well, it's just.
Go
ahead.
I read an article on IGN that talked about why it's a good thing that the game is so short.
Okay, why?
And they were just kind of like talking about, you know, that a lot of first person shooters that you get in the rut of doing the same thing over and over and over again. Like
right.
The missions feel the same and everything, so they're like, in the Order 1886, you don't get in that rut. You just go through the game, you do everything like once, and so the game feels fresh the whole time. Yeah, it's shorter, but you don't feel like you're repeating the same mission over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that when you're talking about like a Call of Duty, because the Call of Duty campaign is really short. The reason why the campaign is really short is that most of the people that play Call of Duty, they don't play it for the campaign.
They play it for the online.
Right.
Yeah.
So the problem with The Order is that there is no multiplayer. So it's a it's a AAA title that costs $60 that you play through and you're done
in one evening.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Most
yep.
people are going to sit down and play it and play
would,
it and be done
oh,
in
man.
One evening.
That,
and then
yeah.
and then
yeah.
what do? Nothing. There's nothing to do at that point. You know, it's not like you transition into the multiplayer and then continue playing that forever and ever and ever.
Now, I read an article on Kotaku. Oh, man, he just ripped it a new one. He's like, the only thing that is good about this is that
it's
is sometimes pretty.
Yeah.
He said, other than that, the character development is lacking. The weaponry is lacking. The storyline is lacking. He's like, what happened? Why did they put this game off for so long only to put out such a far, you know, just a horrible product?
Well, it seems like the whole premise of like the world that they built.
It's really cool. That
yeah, there's so
the
much. There's,
the world has
well,
so much potential.
And a lot of people are like, well, it looks like what they did is they just put out this title specifically because they know they're going to make other titles. And so they just kind of put this one out almost as like a precursor to the rest of what's going to be coming.
You know, I saw comments on that same idea where they're like, I wonder if this is going to turn into like Assassin's Creed, where, you know, you put out the first game, which is pretty short unless you really want to go out of your way to do all the little things.
Right.
It's pretty straightforward. It's maybe about 6 hours of gameplay. And then you're done. and not a whole lot of replay.
And then the other games
but
are
then you just
expand
have
on the story.
More,
you get more exactly. story by
and
the
you
time.
Get more world.
Yeah, that's possible.
Maybe they will come out with a second game that is a multiplayer, you know, open world, more like a Far Cry.
Well, see,
but the difference in that though is that everyone really enjoyed and ranted and raved about the first Assassin's Creed, whereas this one's already getting horrible reviews.
And it's not even released. All the pre-release reviewers are all ripping it, yeah.
So,
well, that's not getting reviewed well.
Correct.
I mean, it's getting
all,
I think
it's all the reviews, I'm probably not going to pick it up.
It's probably, yeah, I from what I've seen like on Metacritic, I think it's around 60 on Metacritic, which
I was gonna pre-order it, but now I'm not sure. So
see,
sure.
And this is an argument, in my opinion, this is an argument against pre-orders, because
yeah.
there's so much hype built up. You're like, yes, I love this game. It's so awesome. Give me the, take my money, and then you finally get the game. You're like, what? This was what I was so hyped up and anticipated
yeah,
for the last year.
That's why
year.
Wait for the game to come out. Wait for it, all
right.
the reviews to come out, and then
yeah, that's
pick
why.
It up.
That's why I really, for the most part, I think the only game I've ever pre-ordered was Destiny.
And speaking of pre-ordering a game, Exploding Kittens.
Yes.
Oh man,
just wrapped just, up an hour ago.
Oh, did it?
And they almost made $9 million.
What?
That's
oh,
almost.
Gosh.
They made $8,782,000.
And they had like 220,000 backers.
Yeah, that's yep. awesome.
Yep.
So that's insane.
Yeah. What was the original? What was he originally asking for?
$10,000.
That's awesome.
And he got almost $9 million. Oh, it's insane. Like
yeah. they said that it's
I,
like the
they
most,
are now millionaires.
Yeah, they said that it's like the most successful Kickstarter.
It is
as
like,
far as mm-hmm. as far
There's
as
they've had the most money
and backers.
And the most backers,
right? Because
and the largest percentage funded.
Cause,
so
did well, it just
because
there
are
bad to go
maybe,
donate
maybe.
Well,
it doesn't matter what it is. They made $9 million.
Yeah. Exploding Kit became the ice bucket challenge of Kickstarter.
Well, but the thing is, that, I mean, yeah, I mean, granted, there is the webcomic that people
follow, like Ryan.
But honestly, how many likes does the Oatmeal have on Facebook, for example? Or like how many subscribers? Okay. So if you figure he's got, say, even a million, that's mm-hmm. really only one out of five people that like the page that bought, that's not that amazing. It's not like every single person. So, I mean, even if, say, for example, even
well, you can like it and not
20%.
Have any money.
Sure. But, I mean, to get 20% of your followers to support your Kickstarter – no, that's a pretty good.
That's almost
well,
as good
percentage.
As voter turnout.
Yeah, right.
It's, yeah, well, it's insane. It's just like, and yeah, it's insane. I just hope that the game is good.
Well, going to take. When is the estimated delivery date?
Like they'll have it out by this summer,
maybe.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, really? That quickly?
They plan on having it out
okay.
this summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's one problem that I have with Kickstarter is that I'll support a game and
it takes
like
a year.
2 years to finally get it. I'm like, come on, guy.
Yeah, well, yeah. Video games are like that, but this
no,
is a
board games. I've been waiting on a board game. I was supposed to get
really?
Supposedly I was supposed to get it in November.
Mm-hmm.
And
what game?
Catacombs.
Oh yeah. You backed that?
I did.
I interviewed him.
Yeah. So I'm excited about the game, but they're just now getting like they're just now finalizing the print and stuff and getting all this, and so it's still gonna be a few more months out.
Yeah.
And
well, and
the Kickstarter was like I think it ended like a year ago.
It ended in May?
Was it May?
Okay. April or May.
So, yeah.
Well, that's
so
the same thing that happened to me when I ordered the Gothitropolis.
Oh, yeah, and you finally got the figure.
It was like over a year later.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, yeah, forget about that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Luckily, you know, they have been pretty good about, you know, sending out updates and stuff like that just to let everybody know what they're working on. But So, yeah, Exploding Kittens.
Yeah, really cool. Kickstarter's awesome.
So I think one of the biggest geek news articles that came out this past week is the fact that Neil Blomkamp officially announced that he's working on the next Alien movie.
Yeah.
Now, for those that may not be aware of who Neil Blomkamp is, he's the one that directed District 9, which was the Alien
Didn't he also
South Africa?
No, he didn't direct the new Chappie film, right?
He did, yes. That's
okay.
Yep.
So okay.
The new film Chappie,
which is
coming out this weekend. Mm-hmm. So he has been tagged to do the next Alien movie. And it's not Prometheus 2 that he's doing.
Yeah.
He's actually doing, like, quote-unquote Alien 5, for example.
Yeah. Like Ripley and the Ripley alien.
Yeah, and apparently he's working directly with Sigourney Weaver to try to get her in this new movie that he wants to work
well,
on.
Well, technically they are on Earth if they follow the story.
Like
from the last movie they were going into the Earth into the Earth atmosphere when the show ended.
Yeah.
I don't remember. That was the awful one that was done by the French people, right?
Yeah, it was really bad.
Which one was that?
Number 4.
That was the one where she's like a clone.
Where she like gives, and it was like half alien, half human hybrid.
It wasn't awful as a standalone, but for the Alien series, it's just kind of like it didn't really meld well.
Yeah.
I had I had Ripley, and that was about it.
Nothing will beat Aliens.
Oh, of course, James Cameron.
James Cameron.
They need to have a sequel to that.
Yeah, right?
Well, they tried to do somewhat of a sequel to that in video game format, and it just totally bombed.
It bombed.
It was the game that came out recently, last year, Aliens Colonial
Marines. Didn't you buy it, Mike?
Oh.
U.S. Marines?
I played through it and had a lot of good fun, but the multiplayer stunk. And, you know, it was too short. It just felt like, oh, man, I just powered through 5 hours and I'm done.
Now, the new Alien game, Alien Isolation, that one's supposed to be pretty good.
Alien Isolation is just
one is a sequel to the original.
Yeah, if you want
to actually play as Ripley's daughter.
Yeah. It's creepy.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's a survival horror type.
Yeah, it's a survival
format.
Horror. Yeah.
Cool.
So speaking of movie people, so we all know the name. We some people fear the name of M. Night Shyamalan.
Ooh.
And
I can't even say it.
Shyamalan.
I like Shyamalan.
You know what? I've enjoyed 90% of his movies.
No.
What?
Not 90.
I like Unbreakable. I like Signs. I like The Village.
I like Signs. I like The Village.
I like Lady in the Water.
I liked Lady in the Water.
And so I enjoyed all of those
movies.
What
was the latest one where the plants killed people?
No, the latest one was Devil, which was in the elevator. Yeah,
that
was
his. I didn't know that one.
Oh, wait. What is that about? Maybe I've seen that.
It's like people are stuck in the
elevator
with the devil. Something like that.
Oh, was that?
It bombed.
Was that on night on TV? What was it? Or is that?
No, it was released
in theaters.
I mean, you can. I think it's on Netflix nowadays. But
yeah,
and then there's what The Happening.
The Happening.
Yeah,
that was
the
one with
the
bees
and
stuff.
Oh, the
where
bees.
Everybody committed suicide.
The flower, like the trees and stuff.
That's the one Ryan's talking about, where the plants were killing people. Yeah.
But so he kind of lost his mojo. He tried to get it back with directing The Last Airbender, but that went very poorly.
Oh.
But he has
I did see Devil. Yeah, and it was kind of blah.
Yeah.
I had to look at the Google images.
He kind of slowly went down. Yeah. Like, he started off with Sixth Sense, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, he's so awesome!
The Village was awful.
And then he did...
What? I liked The Village.
I was so disappointed with the ending.
I liked The Village.
It was kind of wrap it up and kind of like,
The problem with The Village is, well, and this is kind of the problem with most of his movies. You can really only watch it once.
Right.
Point of all of his movies is that there's usually some kind of a twist at the end. And so if you already know the twist, it really takes it all, you know, you're like, I already know.
Takes the magic out of it.
He's already dead.
I didn't know the twist from The Village. I was like, oh, it's not a werewolf? I'm done.
Right. Oh, they're just secluding themselves from society? Okay.
This is lame.
Oh, it's just the plants that are doing it.
So he lost his mojo, and everyone loathes his names. But he is writing and I think producing and directing a new TV series called Wayward Pines that's going to premiere on Fox. Hmm. Now, early previews of the show by critics and other people are talking highly of it. Saying
is it going to be one of those shows
like a mystery show?
The first season is awesome, but the rest is just kind of like, blah.
Yes.
Probably. But I watched the trailer, and it stars Matt Dillon, and he crashes his car and stumbles in this, you know, town. So, and the town is like, perfect, like everything goes, you know, everyone's happy and blah blah blah, all this stuff, and it's only perfect as long as you obey the rules.
Step
and then the first rule is you have to answer the phone if it rings no matter what, and so it shows him answering the phone, and answer the phone and then like listen and do what whoever tells you to do something, because he answers the phone and like this distorted voice says, you have to kill the man right in front of you. And he's like, and he says something and hangs it up. And then after that, the rest of the trailer is just like showing all this crazy stuff, basically showing that behind this perfect town, there's like this crazy conspiracy thing going on. But it, I mean, the trailer caught my attention,
okay. And
it looked like something, you know, at least worth trying. But maybe, like, you know, a lot of movie people, whether they be actors, writers, or directors, are kind of going to TV to do something great and then like go back to movies. Because I mean, look at J.J. Abrams. He's did great things on TV,
yep. And
now he's this great big movie star director as well.
He did?
And so,
yeah. What?
Yeah.
What do you mean he did? Shame on you.
Shame on you.
You know better than that.
I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch what?
J.J. Abrams, isn't he the one? No. Didn't he do Lost? Or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Never watched it. I watched one whole episode. Didn't care for it.
I missed out. That's like okay, one of the greatest really TV really series of all time.
It was. I don't really like how they wrapped it up. But
no, me neither.
I would.
That's another conversation.
Yeah.
Alias. He even did
watched all of Alias.
Yeah,
I didn't like how that wrapped
up.
He
did Lost. He did. Person of Interest, which is on the TV now. He's behind that. Mm-hmm. He was behind Almost Human. He was behind Fringe. He was behind
Fringe is good.
Revolution.
Revolution. I mean,
which I liked.
I did too.
Fringe.
Yeah.
I love Fringe.
You're naming off all these shows, and I'm like, I know them, but I just never watched any of them except
that's
for
Alias. All you watch is your silly anime.
Hey, I don't have television, so
neither do I.
It's all on Netflix.
Hulu
all
Plus.
On Netflix.
So anyway, that was interesting. But anyway, let's go to our next thing. Geeky trivia.
Woo! Oh no!
What is it today?
It's all encompassing.
All encompassing.
All encompassing random geekdom.
So the first section is books.
Okay.
I read those.
So, good. That's good.
I know what books are.
Okay. Two famous fantasy series are composed of 7 books. Name them.
Wait, what?
Harry Potter.
Oh,
yes.
Good job.
Harry Potter for Ryan.
Chronicles of Narnia.
Correct, John.
Oh, okay. I see where we're going with that.
Okay. According to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
42.
What is the correct, Mike? The answer to the ultimate question of life. All right. Which set of awards is given yearly for the best science fiction or fantasy work?
The Hugo.
That is correct, John.
And Bradbury?
And fantasy.
Fantasy. And what? That 2 awards?
The Golden...
Hugo. The Hugo Awards.
Yeah, Hugo.
Oh, I thought you were... Best science fiction and fantasy.
Okay, I thought you said which pair of awards or something.
Well, it's award ceremonies or pet something. Sorry.
Okay.
You were right. Hugo Awards.
Hugo Awards.
Yay.
Moving on.
I win.
All right, moving on. Okay. What year did Harry Potter first attend Hogwarts?
91.
Ryan is correct, 91.
And wait. I just want to say because you posted on
Esteban?
Esteban.
Esteban.
You are correct.
Congratulations, Esteban. It's because of you that I know that Harry Potter
came
out in 1991.
Exactly, me too. I saw that one. Okay, cool.
In terms of book sales, name the 3 best-selling sci-fi / fantasy authors of all time.
Ray Bradbury?
Nope.
Arthur C. Clarke?
Nope.
I would say
really?
J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling is one,
you said
correct.
Sci-fi, right?
Sci-fi / fantasy.
Oh, well, they're probably all fantasy.
No.
Nope.
J.K. Rowling.
I was thinking fantasy. I mean,
Who's the Twilight chick?
Oh, Robert Jordan.
Nope.
No?
No.
Come on, guys.
J.R.R.
Tolkien?
J.R.R.
Tolkien. I thought that was, too obvious.
George R.R. Martin.
Nope.
C.S. Lewis.
Someone else that writes lots of books.
Stephen King.
Stephen King is correct,
okay.
Ryan.
There we go.
Oh, that's horror, not sci-fi or fantasy.
He did.
What? He does some fantasy.
Yeah.
The Dark Tower?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the dragon, Eyes of the Dragon.
Eyes of the Dragon. Yeah. He also did, the most recent one that is being made into a TV series about it's the alternative history of the JFK killing. That's like time travel.
There you go.
Boom. That one.
Yeah,
okay.
I've only read about 4 or 5 of his.
I was really into Stephen King when I was in high school, but.
Yeah.
All right. Disney's failed movie, John Carter, was originally a book title, what?
Princess of Mars.
Princess of Mars is correct. And an extra point if you can name the author.
No, Arthur Conan Doyle.
No, wait.
It's, no. Dang it.
Oh.
I know it.
I know it, too. Princess of Mars. John Carter.
Dang it. Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Edgar Rice Burroughs.
It's correct.
Tarzan, yeah.
All right.
Okay. We are going to the next section. Video games.
Woo!
Which video game company made handheld gaming popular and continues to lead the market today?
Nintendo.
Nintendo is correct. Mike and John. All right. In the best-selling game of all time, well, I'll just say that first, and I'll read more of the question if you can't name it. What is the best-selling game
Mario
of all
Brothers.
Time? What'd you say, John?
Tetris.
Tetris is correct.
Ah.
All right. Which breakaway hit was published as part of a collection by Valve in order to appease customers who are waiting for the next Half-Life game?
Team Fortress.
No.
Portal.
Counter-Strike.
Portal is correct, John.
Portal.
See, that's really interesting that they put it that way, because Portal was actually developed by a team of college students for their final project.
Their senior project?
And Valve picked it up and hired all of them to finish it and turn it into what it became.
Interesting. There you go. So, four ghosts appear in Pac-Man. What are their names?
Inky, Blinky, and Clyde.
Okay. So, Mike, you got two, and John, you got two.
Oh, come on.
Clyde. Good job, Lance.
What'd he say?
And Clyde.
Lance knows him. Yeah, Lance knows him.
The current generation
of
consoles.
Because of the cartoon, right?
Yeah, the cartoon.
And the game.
So the current generation of console wars is waged between Sony and Microsoft. What companies duked it out in the 80s and 90s?
Sega and Nintendo.
That is correct, John. What popular PlayStation 1 stealth series features a character whose signature move
is... Metal Gear Solid.
It's correct.
Wait,
Michael.
What is it?
Metal Gear Solid. To hide in a box.
To hide in a box.
Oh. I was waiting for him because I was like, okay, well...
That game was so hard.
I didn't necessarily consider that to be a stealth game, but okay.
Yeah, because you never want to get spotted.
You don't want to get spotted.
Boing!
Yeah.
All right. Next category, movies.
I've seen those.
Oh, good. Halle Berry accepted the Razzie for worst acting in a...
Catwoman.
Catwoman is correct. Who said that first?
We both did,
but John probably started it.
You both get a point. Which actress is becoming well-known for her role in genre movies, having appeared in Avatar, Star Trek, and Guardians of the Galaxy?
Rosario Dawson.
No.
No, wait.
No.
What's her name?
She's from...
No, what's her name? Oh, my gosh.
You said Rosario Dawson. Now I can't get her name out of my head.
I know. What's her actual...
Her name is Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana. Dang it.
Zoe.
I apologize. I apologize.
Yeah, she's a listener.
You never know.
Which sci-fi movie was famously written with characters that could have been played by an actor of either sex?
Huh?
Say that one more time.
Which sci-fi movie was written with characters that could have been played by either sex?
The Fifth Element.
No. But good guess.
Matrix.
No.
I don't know.
Alien.
Huh. All
right.
Okay.
There you go. All right. Which movie company helped pave the way for genre movies through its creature features in the 30s and 40s?
Hammer? No. No, those aren't.
So which movie company?
Universal?
Universal is correct, Mike.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think of who's been around long enough.
All the classic, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
So, last section, comics.
I've read those.
Good. Name the characters that comprise the Holy Trinity.
Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, yeah.
John
got that.
All right. In which title did Superman first appear?
Action Comics.
That's Batman.
Ryan, correct. What is the only comic/graphic novel on Time's list of the 100 best novels in the English language?
Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns. Yeah.
No.
Spider-Man Doomsday.
No.
Or.
Superman Doomsday.
That's what I meant. Sorry.
No.
Interesting.
Watchmen.
Watchmen. Okay.
Oh my gosh! I got one.
It's even a comic book one.
Good job, Michael.
All right. What Marvel character is amongst the most famous, but was not created by Stan Lee?
Wolverine.
Wolverine.
Wolverine is correct, John. And that's it for Geeky Trivia! And the winner tonight is John! So, good job, man.
Yeah, man. You know it.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening to The Closet Geek. Thanks to Doghouse Systems for being an affiliate. Use the code CLOSETGEEK for double your RAM on your purchase. And go to our website to use our Amazon affiliate link for all your shopping needs. You can find us at theclosetgeek.net. On all of our social media, you can email us at theclosetgeekpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to our show on iTunes and Stitcher. Join us next week. We are the Four Horsemen of Geek, reminding you to wave your geek flag proudly.